Is KFSK's Midday Magazine for Friday, January 29th. I'm Angela Denning. The International Pacific Halibut Commission today approved an increase in halibut catch limits for most of the coast. The joint U.S. and Canadian body oversees management of the prized bottom fish from California to Alaska. The commission held its annual meeting in Juneau this week. Commissioners approved a coast-wide catch of just under 30 million pounds for 2016. That's an increase of 2.2% from last year's limits. Commissioner Chair Jim Balsiger of Juneau said the decisions were not easy to make.
But all in all, I think it was a really good meeting. Since the first time in the last few years that things are relatively optimistic in the stock, the first time in the last few years that we've seen a fairly significant decrease in bycatch, the discussions focused quite a bit, both in the public and in our executive sessions, about the trade-offs we have to make between rebuilding the stock and capturing some revenue from the fishery now when things look a little bit better. And I'm happy where we ended up, so I think it was a good meeting.
In Area 2C, Southeast Alaska, the commission approved a combined commercial and charter catch of 4.95 million pounds. That's an increase of 6% from last year. British Columbia, Area 2B, was approved for 7.3 million pounds, an increase of over 4%. In Area 3A, the Central Gulf, the commission approved a combined commercial and charter catch limit of 9.6 million pounds. That's a decrease of 500,000 pounds, or 5%, from last year. The commission also adopted catch share plans for Southeast Alaska and the Central Gulf that impact the number and size of halibut that charter anglers can keep. Overall, the commission approved catch limits above the IPHC staff's blue line numbers. Those represent long-standing harvest percentages applied to the estimated legal-sized halibut for each regulatory area. Commissioner Jeff Kaufman of St. Paul noted the overall decision was about 12%, or 3.2 million pounds above that blue line number.
To let you know where most of those increases came from, about 2.5 million pounds out of the 3.2 million pound increase above the blue line came from Area 2, an area that I think we have a lot of confidence in, an area that's responded very well to the cuts that we've all experienced over the last decade or so. And about 660,000 pounds of the increase above the blue line came from areas 3A and west, areas that we have, I think, more concern about. So bulk of the increases, or the bulk of the allocations above the blue line came from Area 2, and about 660,000 pounds of that came from Area 3A and west.
Area 2 stretches from Southeast Alaska to California. For most of the coast, commissioners approved a season start date of March 19th, and an end date of November 7th. Another year, another warm January here in Southeast Alaska. Petersburg has set daily high temperature records on 5 days this month, hitting 48 degrees on the first day of the new year and 50 degrees on January 2nd. National Weather Service temperature and rainfall data for Petersburg span back to the 1940s. According to those records, the town saw the warmest January 11th and 26th on record, hitting 48 degrees both days, before getting up as high as 52 degrees on Wednesday. That's a daily record for January 27th. Overnight lows have also set new high marks on 3 different days this year, January 21st, 26th, and 27th. 2015 also saw daytime highs and overnight lows, the warmest on record, on multiple January days. Other Southeast communities are setting high temperature records this winter. It's been raining pretty hard this past week, but January of 2016 has not even seen half the rainfall total of last year. That's when Petersburg set a new January record with 21.05 inches. With only a couple days left to go in January of 2016, the total rainfall so far this year is just over 9.5 inches. Petersburg's Assembly on Monday will be taking their second vote on budget changes, including the transfer of money for the police station and municipal building renovation project. It's also the public hearing for the ordinance making changes to this year's budget, so it's the public's chance to sound off on the borough's plan to fund that project. The borough has started advertising for construction firms interested in doing the work. That's after rejecting an application this month for a public vote on whether the nearly $10 million renovation should go forward. In other business, the Assembly will consider a resolution addressing state funding for KFSK Public Radio. They'll also consider a memo from the Municipal Land Selection Committee seeking a larger land entitlement from the state. The municipality gets to take roughly 1,300 acres of state land in the new borough as part of the borough formation process. However, officials are hoping for legislative help to increase that amount. Also on Monday's agenda is a discussion on redirecting state money from the Cake Road Project for other capital project needs in Cake and in Petersburg. The mayor and assembly members are also scheduled to talk about other issues they plan to bring up during a visit to the state capitol this month, or next month in February. The assembly will continue its discussion about a local ordinance for regulating new marijuana businesses, but is not scheduled to vote on that ordinance yet. Again, the Borough Assembly meeting starts at noon on Monday in Borough Assembly Chambers. As usual, KFSK will be broadcasting the meeting live. Alaska insurance regulators have suspended Moda Health Plan from accepting new or renewal policies in the state, citing concerns with the Oregon-based company's financial situation. Moda is one of two companies offering individual insurance policies for Alaskans on the federally facilitated health insurance marketplace. The other is Premier Blue Cross Blue Shield. The Alaska Division of Insurance acted yesterday after officials in Oregon placed the company under supervision due to its financial condition. The supervision order issued by Oregon's Department of Consumer and Business Services calls for the company to submit a business plan that it deems accessible or acceptable by today. The department says Moda cannot issue new policies or renew current policies in the individual market or add new groups. A fugitive from justice in Sitka was arrested Tuesday after police located him hiding in a tunnel system that he had dug under a trailer park. It took eight officers to extract the man, who had been missing just over 2 weeks, and who had apparently spent much of that time burrowing. Robert Woolsey reports from Sitka.
Sitka police staked out the home of 42-year-old Jeremy Beebe when he failed to report to jail on January 12th to begin serving a 21-month sentence. Lieutenant Lance Ewers says that Beebe eventually returned to his home in the Vitsgary trailer court, but when officers followed him inside to make the arrest, he had disappeared.
And we find this dungeon door. It was like a door, you go down these stairs, and it was locked from the inside, so that was a clue. So we got the battering ram out and went to town on the door and blasted it open with the battering ram and entered the dungeon.
Ewers says the main underground area had a dresser and a TV and could fit four officers, all standing upright, easily. But there was more to Beebe's getaway plan.
When we turned the first corner, it was a long kind of a alleyway, if you will. And at the end of the alleyway, one of our officers located Beebe, and he had a black sweatshirt on, and he told him, I see you got a black hoodie on, come out, let me see your hands. And he immediately took off and went out of sight.
Ewers says that the tunnel system was extensive. Officers resumed the manhunt outside the trailer when it looked like Beebe might try to give them the slip through an alternative exit.
There's all kinds of boats and trashed vehicles and car parts and motorcycle parts everywhere on the outside. And we just contained the area and started like slowly dismantling the areas that looked like they were hiding entrances into this system of tunnels, and found another entrance on the back near where he was located. And one of the officers grabbed him by the ankles, but he pulled away from the officer and shimmied back into the tunnels. And another officer ran around the back, ripped off the siding of the house, snatched him out of the house, and just drug him out.
Beebe was taken to the Sitka jail. After consulting with the fire chief, Ewers says the Sitka building official was summoned to inspect the property and to determine if it was now unsafe to occupy. Beebe was scheduled to serve 21 months in prison for several crimes ranging from theft to criminal mischief and misconduct involving a controlled substance. Although Ewers says he's never seen anything this elaborate, he's not surprised over the lengths Beebe went to in order to evade capture.
He was pretty motivated, didn't want to come to jail.
Ewers says that in addition to serving the original 21 months, Beebe likely faces an additional penalty for contempt of court. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
Business and community members will be saying thanks tonight to the men and women of the U.S. Coast Guard and their families. The free event at the Sons of Norway Hall is hosted by the Petersburg Chamber of Commerce. It will feature some of the local history of the Guard, along with stories from fishermen who have been rescued. Joe Vicnicki spoke with organizer Kristen Zarlengo about tonight's event.
Kristen, was this your idea to come up with an event like this?
No, not at all. This idea was generated by David Byrne at Wells Fargo Bank, the commercial business manager there. And I think he had seen it in other communities where he's worked, and he brought the idea to the Chamber of Commerce. And it took a while to plant that idea, and we were talking, and I said if that event happens, I'd be more than happy to contribute in organizing that. So he is the generator of the idea and thought it's really important to recognize our Coast Guard.
Something near and dear to your heart, though. You have two sons in the Coast Guard?
Yeah, my husband was enlisted. When I was a new bride, I was married to an enlisted Coast Guard. And then now, yeah, two sons at the Coast Guard Academy studying to be officers. So, yeah, near and dear for sure.
So tell me about what's planned.
The plan is we wanted to do a just Friday after work, just a meet and greet reception so people could put faces on these guys that kind of are in our community, but you don't always see them. We're going to start at 5 o'clock just with a little snack line. We're going to have some refreshments and some snacks. And at 5:30, we're going to actually have a program where the Coast Guard will come in and do colors for us. And there'll be an invocation, a welcome, and then an introduction where the lieutenant from the Anacapa will be introduced, and he's going to give a brief presentation about a little bit of the Coast Guard relationship with Petersburg and some interesting things that he knows. And then we are going to show the movie trailer to the new Coast Guard movie coming out that actually is being released down south tomorrow on the 29th. That would have been nice. It's called The Finest Hour.
Okay, I've seen the advertisements for that.
It's a
rescue story.
Yeah, well, it's considered one of the great ones, pretty much the greatest rescue of all time, and it took place in the 50s. So we're going to show the movie trailer to that. It's kind of dramatic and fun. And then we will introduce we have two speakers who are going to speak to what it felt like to be rescued by the Coast Guard. One is Steve Berry, who was on the Kuprinoff earlier this last spring. And then Charlie Christensen is going to also tell his story. And we have both video and audio from those rescues as well. So that's going to be pretty neat. And then we're just going to have, it's for families. We're going to have a coloring table for the kids, and we're going to have a big thing for everybody to sign to give to the guys for the station. And yeah, just to take some time. And it's really just an event of gratitude, which I think is really neat.
All right, and so this is all being put on by the Chamber?
The Chamber of Commerce is hosting it, and we had quite a few sponsors to sponsor the food platters, and everybody seemed to be excited to generate this idea. It's really nice. We're also not just recognizing the guys at the station and the gals, but their families as well, because there is a big sacrifice to, you know, they come in and they get uprooted every 2 years. They got to go. The kids have to adjust. The spouses, try to find work, but they're not going to be here a long time. So they really do sacrifice a lot to serve us.
Anything else we should let people know about?
It's free, and if you can't make it right at 5, just come whenever you can. It's just at the Sons of Norway, so just sneak in the back, grab some food, and just listen to the program. You won't interrupt. Just come in any time if you can get off work at 5. And it's just, like I said, it's an event of gratitude, and those things are kind of rare. So it would be really nice for Petersburg to show up to really thank them. I mean, they've been here. And we're a fishing community, and there's not one of us who hasn't been touched by the Coast Guard.
Again, the event starts at 5 o'clock tonight at the Sons of Norway Hall. And finally, if you want to improve your sense of well-being, leave the Lower 48. A new report ranking all 50 states based on residents' sense of well-being puts Hawaii at number 1, followed by Alaska, which held the top spot last year. Hawaii has been number 1 in the poll 5 times since 2008. The survey from Gallup Healthways Wellbeing Index had Montana, Colorado, and Wyoming rounding out the top 5. The State of American Wellbeing 2015 State Rankings Report was compiled from a non-scientific telephone survey of residents across the country. The survey listed the bottom 5 as Indiana, Ohio, Oklahoma, Kentucky, and West Virginia. That's a familiar spot for West Virginia, which has been last in the rankings for the past 7 years. Kentucky has been number 49 during that same time. Well, it is Friday, January 29th, and that means it's time for the Stocks Report with Dan Berg. He's a financial advisor with Wells Fargo Advisors in Bellevue, Washington, and he's joining us by telephone. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Angela. Hi there.
How's it going?
Well, today was a very nice end to the week. And I guess the theme for the week is that the stock market seems to believe that growth is slowing somewhat, and so does the bond market. And what the market is saying is very different than what the Federal Reserve Bank is saying. So it's very interesting. The Fed has been talking about 4 interest rate hikes this for this year, and the futures market shows that there might be 1, maybe 2. And so who knows what the truth is. In the past, the market has been a little bit closer to where the economy actually is. And so today we had some interesting statistics about that. The Federal Reserve met this week, and they left interest rates just the same. And they said that they'd be watching, you know, world events and the economy to see what they would do in the future. But we had some GDP data that showed that growth is slowing a little bit. In the fourth quarter, the U.S. economy grew at about a 0.7% annual rate. That's a lot slower than the 2-3% it had been growing. And we also had a little bit of punk data from durable goods orders, you know, the stuff that lasts longer than a year, like machine tools or dishwashers, things of that sort. Anyway, that there was quite a drop there. So it looks as though there could be some slowing in the economy. Consumer confidence, on the other hand, hit 3-month highs, and home prices still are hanging in there pretty good. Home prices, by the way, nationally are up about 5.7% according to the Case-Shiller Index. And the leading city is the northwest city of Portland. Their home prices soared by 11.1%. That was an interesting statistic for the northwest. So over in Japan, though, they are still concerned about deflation, and the Bank of Japan joined the European Union in negative interest rates. And you may very well ask, what in the world are negative interest rates? And in this case, if, for example, a large Japanese bank, sometimes they need to deposit money with the central bank, and normally they get paid to do something like that. And in this country, they still get paid a little bit. But in Japan, they get dinged a little bit, and so it's a real incentive to lend the money rather than just let it sit around. That's also happening in the EU. Another interesting statistic this week, Bloomberg reported that $1 trillion has left China over the year of 2015. They did have some money come in from positive trade flows, but there's a lot of money leaving the country, and so that may be yet another interesting data point as to why things have been sort of up and down there. So for the week, the Dow Jones closed at 16,466. That was, you know, about a 360-point gain for the week. Almost all of that gain came today. The market was up nicely today. The NASDAQ eked out a very slight gain, 4,613 for the close, and the S&P closed at 1,940. That's about a 1.8% gain for the week. And as I said, that almost all came today on the GDP data. Oil closed at $33.60 for next month's West Texas. That's about a $1.40 gain. Oil has been bouncing back somewhat from the lows. And gold also came up about $10 to $1,117 an ounce. And as you might expect in the bond market, since we did have a little bit of evidence of slower growth, bond yields came down. The 30-year Treasury is now at 2.75, and the 10-year is firmly below 2% now at 1.93. That will probably begin affecting mortgage interest rates again.
Anything on individual stocks that you'd like to share?
Well, we are in the middle of earnings reporting season, so we've got fireworks all over the place. There were 200 companies of the S&P 500 that announced. The biggest announcement of all came from Apple, symbol AAPL. That closed down this week to $97.05. And for the first time since 2003, iPhone sales actually slowed. And interestingly, the CEO said that the international environment is really hard for them. Places like Brazil and Russia are in pretty steep recessions, and it's just a lot harder for them to sell iPhones in certain parts of the country. So a lot of folks saw their Apple profits shrink just a bit. McDonald's, on the other hand, symbol MCD, announced really nice results that closed at $123.78. All-day breakfast has something to do with that. Facebook also blew people away, symbol FB. All I can say is wow with their results. That closed at $112.01. Microsoft also had great earnings, symbol MSFT. Their efforts to move things onto the cloud and have Office as a subscription are producing some good results. That closed up 5.6% today to $54.99. Boeing, on the other hand, had a real negative surprise with their outlook for this year. Symbol BA closed down to $120.13. And they said that this year is going to be a transition year as they begin production of a few new models, particularly the 737 MAX. Alaska Airlines closed at $70.40, symbol ALK. Another Northwest stock is Amazon. They missed their profits expectations, even though their sales were up nicely. That closed down today to $587.40. And finally, just down the street here, PACCAR, symbol PCAR, the maker of Freightliner trucks, had a poor result that closed at $43.50.
Well, a lot to think about, a lot happening this week, it sounds like. What about next week? Anything you want to share?
Well, I'll probably have a lot to say then, too. Next week, we have the January employment report, and that will certainly move the market. We also have some data on personal income and spending. And what's really been holding up the U.S. economy and making us the world leader in the developed world has been the U.S. consumer. So we'll see if that can hang in there. There will also be some numbers on manufacturing next week that will be watched closely. And then we're still in earnings season, and so 114 of the S&P 500 will report. A few of the highlights will be Exxon, Chipotle Grill, which has been in the news, Google, General Motors, and UPS.
Well, thanks so much for that information, Dan. Thanks for joining us this week, and we'll check in with you again next Friday.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. Take care. Dan Berg is a financial advisor with Wells Fargo Advisors in Bellevue, Washington.